We are wrapping up our series right now called Summer Baggage. And I want to talk to you a little bit about my own life. And that is, when I was a kid, believe it or not, I was incredibly shy. My mom said that when people would look at me, all right, you see a baby and they look at the baby or whatever, I would start crying. Like, I didn't want any attention at all. Like, if I saw you looking at me, it just kind of killed me. And I know how that feels. I know how it feels to be a very shy person. I mean, if I'd known I was going to do this for a living when I was 7 years old, I would have peed in my pants, okay? There's no way I'd be like, do I want to be a preacher when I was a kid? But something happened to me, and I'm not kidding with you. When I made the commitment that Silas just made, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I went from a very shy kid, not want to say anything, to I've got stuff to say, and I don't care who has to hear it. Like, I'm going to say it. Because God's got something in my heart, and it changed me. Give my life to Christ changed me. But I know what it's like to be shy, and so I can identify with this person we're talking about today in many, many ways. It's time to elect a king in Israel. No one knows who the king is going to be. They're wondering, if you're going to be king, I'm going to be the king. And so all of a sudden, they're out there looking for the king. Samuel gets everyone together. All the tribes of Israel come together, and he calls one tribe of Benjamin up. It says the tribe of Benjamin steps forward because the king's going to come out of the tribe of Benjamin. It reminds me of an announcer's voice who would say something like, and now from Florida, you know, it's just all of a sudden Benjamin steps up. Now we got to figure out in the tribe of Benjamin, who is it? So we break it down by clans. We pick out this clan, and then we pick out the family, a certain family from that clan, and it comes down to Kish's family, and his son Saul is going to be the king. But look what happens next. We have a problem. When they look for Saul, he was what? Read it with me. He was what? Not to be found. They can't find him. And scripture gives some more insight when it says this. They inquire further of the Lord. Has a man come here yet? So the Lord said, behold, he is what? He is hiding himself among the what? Among the baggage. Samuel's like, what is going on here? What kind of person did we elect as king, God? They ran around and brought him out. And as he stood among the people, he was a what? He was a head taller than any of the others. Just think, you know, Travis, our pastor Travis here, our student pastor, a head taller than everybody else, good looking. And they saw this guy. They're like, that looks like a king. And the people shouted, read it with me, long live the king. Now, it seems to me that they've totally neglected the fact that he was hiding. Like, when his name was called up, he's so scared, he didn't want any part of this. There was something wrong with him internally that all the people there just seemed to forget about. Why? Because they were so focused on the outside. So here's the truth. All of us have baggage. Many of us don't want to talk about it. We all just want to kind of look like, you know, we got it going on the outside. We tend to kind of do image management. I want you to think I've got it all together. And so we make sure to hide our baggage. We make sure to hide our hurts and our habits and our hangups. And the truth is, every one of us has some baggage. Every table you sit at, every culture you operate in, every workplace you work in, every school you attend, every single person you lay eyes on has got baggage. And today, we're going to talk about that. And my prayer is it'll be encouraging to you. Let's define some things. Let's talk about, number one, hurt. Hurt kind of leads to the baggage. What's a hurt? It's an emotional reaction, a feeling towards a person's behavior or disturbing situation. Any life experience has damaged your heart, twisted you, manipulated your view of God or of other people. That's a hurt. Let's talk about habits. What's a habit? These are addictions to someone or something. They're unhealthy patterns. At first, you use this to escape the hurt. But now over time, you're starting to spiral in that rhythm, and it's causing you deep despair, pain, and darkness. Could be alcohol, affairs, eating disorders, gambling, gossip, lots of different options. And the next one's hang-ups. Hang-ups, what's a hang-up? This is our mental coping strategy to handle negativity or to handle adversity. These are often shaped by messages that we received as children. So the hang-up oftentimes is holding our life in check. It makes us want to control things, and we get operating in fear. We operate in worry, and we find ourselves drifting in codependency or even in perfectionism. We find ourselves filled with pride, racism, judgmentalism, impatience, fear, greed, self-righteousness. So here's the truth, and that is, family, we all have baggage. Every single one of us. And when you look through the book of 1 Samuel, you begin to see what happens when people don't focus on the baggage, but they focus on the outward appearance. I wish someone would have come up to Saul when he was elected king and just said, "We need to look in this, man. Before you get all that power and before you get all the influence, we need to talk about what's going on inside of you." But nobody did that. Now contrast Saul with a guy named David. David was fearless. Saul was fearful. David looked at a big giant named Goliath and took him head on. Defeated Goliath that pumped up the Israelites. They then defeat the Philistines, and then they go home and they're chanting and they're singing songs. So that's what you do when you celebrate. You gotta have music. And you gotta have chants. And one of the chants went something like this: Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. That's a great chant, unless you're Saul. And that chant triggered, we love that word in 2023, that word triggered his fear, that word triggered his insecurity, right? And so once Saul heard that song, that chant, look what happened. Look what happened. Saul was very angry. This refrain, this chant, displeased him greatly. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but with me, only thousands? What more could he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, read it with me, church. From that time on, what? Saul kept a close eye on David. This refrain triggered something within Saul. See, the refrain triggered within Saul that you're not enough. You're not enough. Has that ever happened to you? Something happened that you felt like you weren't enough, right? And all of a sudden, it just kind of brings that baggage up. And that's exactly what happened with Saul. Every one of us has baggage. Oftentimes, there'll be someone in our life that kind of provokes that baggage. Provokes all of a sudden the hurts, habits, and hangups that we carry on deep inside of us. And then we lash out at that person. We don't look at this as opportunity. Like, maybe I got some things I need to work on and open this up and we need to talk about. And I need to open up to God. No. We start attacking people because we see them as a threat. See, here's what Saul did. He looked at life through the lens of scarcity. Scarcity says there's not enough to go around for all of us. There's only one throne and there's two of us. David, you're a threat. And he started this big word that many of us do, right? Especially on social media, we start comparing ourselves. Saul started comparing. That's what he did. You start seeing that person, those other people to compete with, people to dismantle or defeat or destroy. And what you see in the remaining chapters of 1 Samuel, Saul is so focused, so fearful, so much scarcity, so motivated by this baggage that he zooms in on David and he starts neglecting his responsibilities as the king. Scripture says that Saul brought David close by because, you know, that's what you want to do with your enemies, keep them close, right? And so he kept David close. He said, "David, why don't you play some music for me?" Well, the thing about David that Saul probably didn't realize is how gifted he was. In fact, if you open up your Bible just right in the middle, you'll nail right in the Psalms. Psalms are written mainly by, guess who? David, because he's a great poet. He's a great musician. And so here is David, he's playing the music, and I guarantee you what Saul is thinking is this: you can even sing? You can even do that well too? Like, you ever met someone, you're already intimidated by them, then you figure out they have other gifts? You're like, really? You're not only good looking, but you're athletic, you're smart, you got charisma. I mean, it's like, how in the world do you compete with this? His jealousy, his rage is keep going up and up. And David is praising the Lord through these songs, but not Saul. Animosity is growing inside of him. Look what happens next. Saul tried to pin him to the wall with his spear. But David eluded him. As Saul drove the spear into the wall that night, David made good his escape. David had to be thinking, well, that escalated quickly. I'll never play that song again. See, here's the thing about Saul. He had a weapon. His weapon was a spear. This is not a spear, but it is a weapon. But my question to you, when someone triggers your baggage, what's your weapon? Maybe it's physical violence like Saul. Maybe it's with your words, your mouth. You just cut people down. You're insulting. That's your weapon. Maybe you're just too emotionally aware to do that. Well, that would be stupid, so I'll manipulate. That's my weapon. Or I'll give the cold treatment. I'll give you a cold shoulder. You're dead to me. I'll cut people off, right? What's your weapon of choice? All of us have a weapon when our baggage gets triggered. See, here's the thing. Saul moved from a spear to he started using the weapon called manipulation. He started manipulating his family against David. Scripture says this, one of the daughters, he was going to offer one of his daughters to be married to David. But David said to Saul, "Who am I?" Hear the humbleness? "Who am I? And what is my father or my clan in Israel that I should become the king's son-in-law?" Well, that didn't work out. So they had another daughter. He had another daughter offer, but this daughter was different because look what scripture says. Now, Saul's daughter, Michal, was what? In love with David. You can just hear love is in the air. You can just kind of hear the music. You can see the hearts. Just every time she sees David, she gets the warm fuzzies. And when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. So to get her, David, here's what Saul said. "You're going to have to kill 100 Philistines. David said, "Absolutely." Went off and killed 200. And Saul's just like, how's he doing this? The Philistines are supposed to kill David. But then he was also of added plus. That meant that David was going to be in Saul's house. He could kill him anytime he wanted to now. And all of a sudden the plot comes out. Michal, the daughter of Saul, the wife of David, hears about it. And here's what she says to her man. "If you don't run for your life tonight, tomorrow, my daddy's going to kill you." And once again, David escapes. Saul was manipulating his family against David. And some of us like to do that as well. Saul noticed that his son, Jonathan, was really close with David. And so he set things up through his son to say, "Hey, get David here for a festival," because he wanted to kill, obviously, David at the festival. But here's what happened. He asked his son, Jonathan, he said, "Why hasn't the son of Jesse, who was David, come to the meal either yesterday or today?" And Jonathan's like, "Oh, well, David asked me if he could go home. He wanted to go back to his hometown. He has something to do with his family." And look what happened with Saul. Look how he responds to this. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan. He said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die." And what he's saying to his son is, "Son, if he's not killed, you can forget tasting the throne." Because Saul's hurt and his hang-up had culminated to the event where he is, you know, throwing spears and manipulating his family against David to take him down, and it gets worse. Now his whole focus, complete focus, is killing David. He gets 600 men. They chase David down. They almost get him, but watch what happens. This happens over the last one-third of 1 Samuel. He's all about trying to kill David. But it all starts and all ends right here at this moment. Saul was going along one side of the mountain. I just think it's like a movie scene. One side of the mountain, you got Saul's army. And the other side of the mountain, you got David's army. And David's army is trying to get away from Saul. They're hurrying to get away from the other side of the mountain. And as Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger, God intervenes. A messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly. The Philistines are raiding the land." And then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. Saul was so focused on David that he neglected his responsibilities as the king. Has that happened to you? Where you were so focused on someone at work because they seemed to get all the favor and get all the attention. Everyone seems to like them a lot, that it distracted you and they're no longer a coworker. They're no longer a fellow student at school. They're a threat. And you find yourself zoning in on them so much so it takes your energy away from your job or your family. You're so obsessed with them. All your head and heart space are on them. And it ends up sending you in very destructive patterns. Here's the truth, church. We all have baggage. The question is, are we going to be honest about our hurts, habits, and hangups? Because here's the thing. They're holding our life in check. And they're not allowing you to become who God intended you to be. There's a Christian song out there. The lyrics go, "Earth has no sorrows that heaven cannot heal." And so the most courageous people understand that, I think, in our church. They go to Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights. Or they go to Grief Share. Or they go to Life Group to open up their hearts with other people and open up their hearts to God and allow God and people look at their baggage. Or maybe they go to a pastor and get some help with their area of hurts, habits, and hangups. And they're basically saying this: I don't want to hand a broken baton to my kids. I don't want to live like Saul. And what's amazing to me is the difference between Saul and his son Jonathan. See, Jonathan had every right to be envious of David, but he was not. Look what Jonathan did, starting in 1 Samuel 18, 3 through 4. And Jonathan made a what? He made a covenant. He made a covenant with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his what? Sword. His bow and his belt. This word covenant literally means that if we make it, I make it, like we're in it together. And the prince is not saying, hey, I'm making this covenant. When I'm king, I'll take care of you. That's not what's happening here. Jonathan is not motivated like his dad. He makes a binding agreement with David because he loves him like he loves himself. See, you're either going to operate in two different emotions when it comes to your relationships. Either you operate as love, like totally about sacrifice and loving them and lifting the other person up like Jonathan, or you're going to operate by fear. Fear. Can I control things? Am I getting attention? Are things going my way like Saul? Here's where it gets really interesting. In Israel, there's only two swords. There's only two swords in Israel. Why? Because technology hadn't really gotten to Israel at this time. They're a bunch of hillbillies. Like, really, they're rednecks. And so they don't have a lot of resources. Two swords in Israel, one for the king and one for the next in line. And what Jonathan is doing, when he gives him his bow and his tunic and all that, and then he gives David the sword, he's saying this: David, in this covenant, I'm saying that you're the next in line. That's amazing, church. That he had taken care of his baggage so much that he could look out for the interests of someone else and lift them up. This is your sword, David, not mine. See, here's the thing about covenants. Covenants are easy to make if you get the better end of the deal. And my question is, can you do what Jonathan did? Can you lift up someone else, even if it means you're going down, even though it means you're going down a notch? The spiritual awareness of Jonathan is purely amazing because he heard the refrain. He noticed that his name was not in the song. But here's what Jonathan did. He was able to reframe the refrain. See, those hurts, habits, and hangups, they bombard us every single day. And Jonathan was able to reframe the refrain. He was able to see David differently than his dad because he was not motivated by his baggage. And Jonathan heard the refrain, but he saw in his place love. See, Saul, when he heard the refrain, he saw a position he was going to lose. But Jonathan, when he heard the refrain, he saw a person that God loved. Saul saw scarcity. You know, there's not enough room for me and you, David. But here's what Jonathan saw. He saw abundance. He saw abundance of God's blessing for he and David. Saul was all about comparing himself, like many of us like to do. But Jonathan was all about making a covenant with someone that he loved like he loved himself. Saul was all about moving in and focusing in and zooming in on his threat, David. But here's what Jonathan did. He zoomed out. He zoomed out to see what would serve the people of God best. He loved David well. To do that, he submitted his own pride to the will of his Father in heaven. And you can only do that because he did not allow his baggage to drive his actions. How many of us is our baggage right now holding our life in check? I mean, for some of you here, there's a habit, there's an addiction right now, and you keep running to it, and it's just leaving you stagnant and cold from God. You go, you know, God's so distant, but you know, if you're honest about it, it's you. It's you and your habit. For some of you, it's a hang-up. Something happened to you a long time ago, maybe as a child. Something was said to you, something was done to you from the pit of hell. What if you, in this moment, made a decision that I'm done being Saul? See, for Saul, his whole life would be traced back to this right here, with him not dealing with his baggage and his pain. My question, is that you? Is that you? Is there collateral damage that is all around you because you're afraid to open up your baggage? The life that Jesus invites us to is a life of wholeness. We invite God to invade our lives and heal the broken pieces of our lives. And I know many of you who've gone through really difficult, painful situations. One time I talked to a mentor of mine. He said, Nathan, it's not your fault what happened to you, but it's your responsibility in how you handle it. And what he's saying is this. He's saying, if you don't deal with this, Nathan, this hurt, you're going to be like Saul, a life oriented around fear. But there's a better life for you, Nathan. So my question to you today is, will you choose to live like Saul, or will you choose to live like Jonathan? Will you choose to be fearful and comparing yourself, always seeing people as a threat, or will you truly love people and lifting them up because you know you're already so loved by your Creator? There's a passage in 1 Corinthians about what's most important. The most important thing of all is faith, hope, and love. But Paul clears the air when he says the most important thing of all is love. When you come to Christ, just like Silas has done just now, you have like a thimble-sized capacity to love. What the Holy Spirit and God want to do is they want to say, hey, I want to grow your capacity to love. I want you to grow to a bucket size or a barrel size or a swimming pool size capacity to love, just like Jonathan. We're able to love people who are very different from us, even people who want to harm us. See, here's the thing. If you don't deal with your baggage, it will limit your capacity to love. You got to deal with this if you want to love well. You'll stay a thimble-sized capacity to love, and people are going to look at you like we look at Saul, and they're going to say, don't you have more capacity? Come on. All because you're holding back your baggage. I've known people who've been Christians for a long time, and they've never grown in their capacity to love because they won't allow God to deal with their baggage. And I know how scared it is to say that four-letter word that especially us men do not want to say, and that's the word help. I'll never forget that moment when I went to the Christian counselor, a door, and I knocked on his door, and I thought to myself, why is someone like me going to go talk to a Christian counselor? Well, here's why. Because I was limiting my capacity to love people, especially my wife, well. And I need to figure out what's the limiter, what's the baggage that's limiting me, so I needed help from God and I needed help from other people. And I'm asking you right now, some of you right now, you're medicating either by drugs or gambling or sex and family. It doesn't work. It complicates everything. It is a guaranteed bad road. Some of you started with just a little medicating, and now you realize you passed a line, and you feel like you're stuck and just kind of trapped in the spiral right now. The longer you stay in it, the worse it's going to get for you and your family. And so I'm asking you, will you take the step and open up your baggage to God and go to Celebrate Recovery on Friday night? Ask for help. Put on that card. You know, I need to talk to a pastor. I need to go to Grief Share. I need to get a Christian counselor. Do you have someone you recommend for me and my family? Something I didn't mean to be a habit has become a habit, and I need help. And here's what you're going to meet. You're going to meet some people who are God's testimony to you that, yes, you can get help. How many of you need to make that commitment right now to walk through that door and get help and just open up your baggage? I'm telling you right now, that's the road to healing. God wants to heal your soul. Now is the opportunity to make that choice. And my prayer is that you will make the choice of Jonathan and don't make the choice of Saul. Because it's more than just you. Other people are hanging in the balance with whatever you choose. Will you stand right now? Will you please stand? And let me pray over you right now. Father God, we come before you. And Lord, I lift up our brothers and sisters in this room right now that need to finally just raise up their hand and say, I need help. I need help right now. I need to make a Jonathan choice. I need to deal with my baggage so I can love well and not make it all about me, but make it about your will for myself and for the people that you surround me with, God. I pray right now over people who are just so stuck by a hurt and it's developed in these habits. And now, God, they're just hung up. Lord, they don't know how to progress with you and with their relationships. Lord, I don't want them to be limited anymore. I don't want myself to be limited anymore. Lord, I want our capacity to love everybody to grow, to be more like Jesus. Lord, I want to be like Jonathan. I want to be like Jesus and lift other people up around me and not make it about me and my ego and my will, but about what you want for them and what's best for them and best for your kingdom. Lord, the only way we can get there is if we allow our baggage to open up to you and to others. So Lord, give us wisdom and make a choice just like Jonathan and not like Saul. We pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I want you to know we're here for you. This is what this church is about. We're a community. We want to walk side by side with you. If we could be a blessing to you, come up here and talk to our prayer team. Write on that card. Put in the giving box on your way out the door. You can come up here and just pray right here by yourself on the stairs. Whatever it is, we're here for you today. If you want to choose what Silas did and give your life to Jesus, please let us know. If you have a joy you want to share, we'd love to hear that too. But right now, can we give God the praise, a God that we can give our baggage to? Let's sing to him. Let's worship him right now. Let's build our life on him. Please come as we worship.